In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you today, and especially today because I am at the mothership. I am at the EWTN Network. I spoke at a parish in Leeds, just about 15 minutes away from here. And since I came all the way here, I thought I'd do the show live today from the EWTN radio studios. So it's a great chance to see all the crew here, although it's a kind of a skeleton crew today. Most of the folks that that I just wanted to say hi to aren't here today, but I did get a chance to see a few people. But especially, of course, Ace McKay. But I'm so grateful for the talk last night. Went very well. You know, I'm just incredibly humbled and awed just by people's response. To what the Lord is doing, you know, in through me, you know, it's just a beautiful experience, you know. The woman last night talked about how her family was transformed, you know, by listening to the show, and then her husband coming to a talk, and then he came home like a different person. But again, this is why we can't be afraid to bear witness to the beauty and truth of our faith. You know, we often have no idea how God can use us, as you know, as broken and as sinful as we are. You know, God always draws straight with crooked lines. You know, and as I say all the time, we're just the instrument. God is the musician. And as long as we continue to strive to live a Eucharistic faith every day, you know, to take what we receive in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the double feeding of Christ in his word, and then Christ in his most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, to take that and to actually live it out intentionally, live our faith every day, consciously thinking about how God, giving God permission every day to use me, to use us for his glory. You know, however God sees fit to do that, using our talents and our skills and, you know, the gifts, the charisms that he's given us to be witnesses of that love to the world. You know, and all of that starts in the family. And that's what we're talking about today. We're continuing our series on, it's called For Your Marriage. You know, we're talking about building strong marriages, a strong family life. And today we're going to talk about family commitment, the commitment to the family. What does that look like? Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call. We're 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside of North America, our friends from the Caribbean or South America or Europe or Australia or the continent of Africa, just dial 1, then 205-271-2985. You can also email us at beacon@ewtn.com. And if you can also send us a text message. You can text your question or your comment to 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Just give us your name and where you're calling from. And your question or your comment, and remember that message and data rates may apply. So excited about Pope Leo XIV's first encyclical letter on AI. And as I mentioned earlier last week, that we're going to be diving into that encyclical letter. You know, we got a few of our series that we've been doing, including this one that we're talking about today, that's going to be ending soon. I think we have one more topic to cover after today. And then after that, you know, we're going to and then our rosary series is about that. I think we have two more of the glorious mysteries to go. Then we'll be done with our reflections on the rosary. And so I thought it would be great, since we've not done this before, to kind of walk through the Holy Father's encyclicals. It's very timely. You know, it's AI has had a significant impact. It's just amazing to me how quickly these emerging technologies have impacted, how quickly they impact our everyday life. You know, you think about the advent of CDs, right? And how quickly they took over from cassettes, you know, and when CDs came into play. And then how quickly things changed from CDs and DVDs now to streaming, right? To MP3s and movie files and YouTube and all of that. And now quickly now how you've gone from researching things on the internet and now to AI, which does a lot for you, and it's going to be even more complicated and even penetrating more of our everyday lived experience. You know, AI is being used when you're even typing an email. You know, it will suggest certain ways to answer the email. That's all AI. When you call sometimes to buy plane tickets or customer service, you're talking to AI. You know, when you're just researching something, using AI. In fact, I was at a friend's house not too long ago who's a musician. She's a professional musician, and she was using AI to do production. So she would, you know, write the song and do the music. And the lyrics, everything, and then put it through AI, and it would come back like with drums and bass and kind of this whole production. So it's basically, you know, instead of doing all the production herself, she puts it in AI. AI does a production. Of course, she tweaks it to makes it sound like the way she wants it to sound. So, I mean, I think AI, I think, is a wonderful tool, but I think the Holy Father is giving us some very good insights, some very good ways to think about AI. We're gonna have a show coming up here. We're gonna talk about with Dr. Andrew Kubik, talking about the moral implications of AI as seen in the Holy Father's encyclical. So more to come when it comes to AI. Very exciting time in the church. And again, I'm very excited to be here today at the network, the EWTN Radio Studios here in Irondale, Alabama. And again, I was going to say, usually I talk about the crew that brings you this show every day, but a lot of the folks aren't here. So Pedro's not here today. Michael's not here today. The usual crew. But we do have Ace McKay. And Ace, are you doing everything yourself today?
Except phones. Tom Price is answering phones right now, so we've rallied him for just such an occasion. Since you're here, you know, we thought it'd make it special, so we didn't have time to set the table with candlelights or anything of that nature. So Tom's screening phones, and then I'm handling social and everything else, and you, which is the easiest part of my day, honestly.
Well, this is great. I mean, I actually get a chance to see you. I'm actually looking at you right now.
Right.
This is great.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to tell you, it was kind of interesting. My son gave me in the midst of how we talk about music and how it ties into our faith and, you know, being a musician, or God's a musician, we're the instrument. My son gave a perfect analogy, I say, and I have to believe it was Holy Spirit just where his heart was. But he had his first one-on-one vocal lesson, and he's, you know, gotten instructions in more of a choral setting, but not like a one-on-one. So he was a little nervous. So he came out of it and he was just all pumped. And he goes, I feel like I learned how to breathe. He's like, I feel like I'm good at it, but not great at it. And he goes, I guess it's like a lot of things in life. You got to remember to breathe. And it just like hit me. I was like, man, you know, he's 15 and he's, you know, getting these wisdoms that he's tying into his faith and his performances. And it's like, you know, whether you're a horn player or a singer, or I mean, we have to remember to breathe.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. You know, and when I think about you know, the advent of all this for me, you know, musically is, and we're talking about family commitment today, mm-hmm. you know, as part of our continuing series, and, you know, how families are not just places to learn about the faith, to grow in the faith, but how music plays an important part in that too.
Yeah.
You know, coming to understand, you know, well, as a teenager, you know, you listen to kind of what attracts you, kind of what speaks to your heart, you know, but again, especially in my family, since we're a very musical family, mm. It was just a great way to connect with parents and with siblings and with everyone. So, but I think family commitment is extremely important, especially a time where we're so much of our job and are kind of taking over.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's wonderful to just focus on this today.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. All right, my friends, we're continuing our series on family today for your marriage. Talking about family commitment. Love to hear from you today. 833-288-3EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Cranking out wow. The summer hits now.
Wow, rocking out. Little metal feel there.
I just envision, like, you know, tops down, windows are down, going to the beach, going to the lake. You got to have the proper attire. You got to have the proper sunscreen and the right tune.
Yeah, there you go. I love it, man. Yeah, definitely a metal rocking out there today. That's awesome.
See, next time when you're in studio, we'll do like a little mini jam live in the moment. You need to make that happen.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. I'd love that. I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Simmons, listening to Beacon of Truth, and coming to you today live from the EWTN radio studios here in Irondale, Alabama. I had an amazing a night last night at a parish in Leeds, just a few minutes from here, and decided before I head to my next location that I just would stay and do the show. So I got a chance to see Jack Williams and Deborah Rice and all the wonderful people that work behind the scenes to bring you all the wonderful content on EWTN Radio. So grateful to the Lord for this opportunity. Of course, a chance to see Ace too. Hmm. You know, actually looking at him right now. This is pretty awesome. And today we're continuing our series called For Your Marriage. And today we're focusing on family commitment. What does our commitment to our families look like? Given the busyness and how hectic our lives can be, family commitment is extremely important. We'd love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
You need a great book to take to the beach this summer? Well, Victims of the Revolution. It's great and available in the religious catalog right now as Nathaniel Blake giving us insights on how sexual liberation hurts us all. If you want to know more about it, check it out at the religious catalog when you shop EWTNRC.com.
All right. Continuing our series called For Your Marriage. I think it's important to find ways we can strengthen our marriages. And we've had a great series of shows on this series so far. But now we're talking about family commitment today and how important that is. And would love to hear from you. And maybe you would love to share with us what you're doing and your commitment to your family, because whenever you call in, that really helps other people say, oh, I never thought about it like that. Or, oh, that's a great perspective. Oh, I learned something there. Oh, I could take that into my own family situation. So would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Henry is calling from Orlando, Florida. And Henry, thank you so much for calling. It's great to hear from you. Welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, Deacon. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are things in Orlando?
Oh, hot, but wouldn't have it any other way.
Awesome.
I was listening to your radio station, and it talked about family commitment, and the first thing that came to mind when we was talking about family commitment was a good comparison is about, like, you know, going to the gym, right, or trying to meet a professional goal, wherever it may be. But family commitment is very, it's much more impactful. When we're exercising, yeah, we have a certain goal we want to meet, and yeah, we have cheat days, and we're tempted into lapsing it or giving in or not, you know, performing our workouts or doing our studies or taking this class. The family, giving into the lapse of family commitment has the potential of making it such as it can have a lasting impact on the family. And the goal isn't over when the family can learn certain prayers or, you know, learn his behavior. I feel like the goal when it comes to family commitment is when you can get your spouse or you can get your children into heaven and enjoy eternity with them. So it's not just this short-sighted or, you know, once we can do this. I feel like the goal is over whenever we are welcome to the kingdom. That is the goal. And it's hard, and it's long, and there's battles. But I feel like if we just keep focused and keep that mindset of heaven as a goal, let me get my family into heaven, I think we can, all the families can power through it and get there.
Yeah, totally agree with you there, Henry. So wonderful comments. And you're right. You know, it's we're in it for the long game, you know? And so we have to find the right balance and perspective. And so number one should always be commitment to God, right? Because remember, God exists as a family, as a communion of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that Trinitarian relationship of love, life, intimacy, and communion. And an overflow of that love is what created the universe and everything that exists and everything that will ever exist. It's an overflow of God's love, God's incredible, unfathomable love and mercy. And so we get to share in that. So our commitment to God has to be first. In fact, someone asked me once when they said, what are your priorities in life, Deacon? You got so much going on. I said, well, relationship with God, my wife and family, and then everything else after that. And they kind of looked at me and said, well, Deacon, I thought for sure you put your family first. And I said, hold on, my friend. I said, if I don't put God first in my life, I'm no good to my wife and kids. So that relationship with God has to come first, because that it's from his family in the eternal relationship within the Trinity, within God himself, that created us. And then, you know, so the family on earth is the image and likeness of the family of heaven. Obviously, it's not a, you know, exact thing. Obviously, we can only talk about God in his Trinity by analogy, right? And so that has to come first. And once we put that first, and sometimes it's hard to balance it, because sometimes, like, the kids thing, you know, that especially if you have an issue with one of the kids, that's kind of taken over. Or if you have something going on with your job, so the job is taking priority, you have a project or a huge thing that is demanding your time and attention, sometimes that takes priority. Sometimes you're having issues with your spouse, you know, and you're trying to work through that, but not thinking, wait a minute, I have the grace from the sacrament to be able to help get me through these difficult times. So it's all about balance and perspective, but always keeping God first. Because you're right, Henry, the ultimate goal is heaven, is getting our families to heaven. You know, and I think being a witness, an example to that as parents, I mean, of all the things we can do as parents, the greatest I think we can do is be a witness, an example to our children of how to live the faith. You know, yes, we can take them to baseball and all these other sports things and activities at school. And those are wonderful. And I think those are important, that kids be well, have all these wonderful experiences and be well-rounded. But as the as Cicero, the Roman writer Cicero once said, sic transit gloria mundi, so passes the glory of the world. You know, right, they're doing baseball and football, that's great, but ultimately the only thing that they will have with them now that they will have 40 years from now, 50 years from now, when their parents and grandparents is their faith. And that's what we need to foster and nurture first. That sound like a plan, Henry?
Yeah, and then one quote that just keeps coming to mind when it comes to the family is from Nellie Martin, mother of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Got a lot of wood to chop, but I got to start now rather than not at all.
Yeah, there you go. And, you know, and you talked about some of the challenges too, Henry, and that's important to recognize that there will be challenges. I mean, the road through life is not always paved. There's always going to be ruts. You know, sometimes it may feel like the ground is opening, is going to swallow you up, or there's a flood on the road. You feel like you're getting washed away in the current of the culture and things like that. And sometimes we don't want our kids to be swept away in all of that as well. And so we have to recognize that there are going to be difficulties. It's going to be challenges. It's just a part of life. It's what we do when those times come, how we respond to that, how our spouse and our children see us responding to that, I think that's going to be the key. All right. Would love to hear from you today. We're continuing our series called For Your Marriage. And today we're focusing on family commitment. Would love to hear about your commitment to your family. What does that look like for you? Maybe you want to share some thoughts and some ideas that you have, because I think it'd be a great boost in the lives of others. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
You know, I was talking about this with a friend of mine because he's got a little girl and recently divorced. His wife left, and he's like, he goes, I just feel lost. And I said, you know, as someone who's on the far side of this with my own daughters and now one about to get married, I said, the three things that I've realized, and they've said these to me. So I was, and you talk about being obedient to God and then letting our examples be that sustaining faith, right? And I said, the things my kids tell me that they remember most about me growing up is that it was okay to be flawed, that it was okay to see me as a parent mess up because they needed to see how I handled it. And then each time seeing me take those troubles or those woes to God, because then I was looking at it from a perspective of, God, how do I handle this situation? You knew this was coming. How do you want me to best represent you? And so to be in that Christ mind thinking, to me, that is the best thing to pass on in a commitment to your family, is that they see you make mistakes. They see that you are flawed, because then it's okay for them, because oftentimes the flaws are the same, right? DNA is often the same. And so in that, for my kids to know that no matter what's going on, they're leaning into God with everything, but that when they mess up, give yourself that grace. Start there, and then it allows you to show grace to others or to other family members, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, you know, and that's a good point, because I remember when my mom was upset with me, how scary that was. Mm-hmm. You know, as a kid.
Sure.
You know, when you see your parents angry, and because you don't realize when you're young, like, they're human beings with emotions.
Right.
All you know is, oh my goodness, mommy's yelling at me, or mommy angry. You know, but I love the thing, the point where when that happens, you as a parent, you need to be aware and catch yourself.
Yeah.
And say, oh, and then take a deep breath and say, oh, honey, you know, our son, daughter, what, I love you. I'm sorry. I got a lot of stuff going on right now. And I just, you know, I shouldn't have yelled like that at you. You know, yeah. I'm sorry, you know, that kind of thing. And for them to learn that it's okay to have emotions, it's okay to have feelings, and that it's not personal. I was just in the moment. You know, that happens with my spouse too. Sometimes I'll say something, and as it's coming out of my mouth, I'm like, I shouldn't be saying this right now. But
You have to stop dead in your tracks and go, wait a minute, this is coming out all wrong.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but we're human beings, and that's why Christ has given us the sacrament of reconciliation. You know, which is great, and also to say, you know, I'm sorry.
Amen.
You know, and I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very important. All right, my friends, we're continuing our series called For Your Marriage, and we're talking about family commitment today. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 3986. Yeah. Rocking out today.
Does your wife ever tell you to turn it down?
No, because now, growing up, my mom did, but my wife says no because we have headphones now.
Okay. It was funny. My wife was trying to get either mine or the kids' attention. I think it was Saturday morning, and all of us had earbuds in, and she was like screaming, "Will someone answer me?"
Well, the one thing, though, is that when Benjamin and I are playing, you know, she'll say, "Can you turn that down?" You know, that kind of
thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or she'll just go somewhere else, outside or upstairs with the headphones on and stuff like that. So that's the only time now, but that's kind of few and far between.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It actually did my heart good. I was shopping on Saturday and saw a couple of teens walking through the park, and they had, like, full-on headphones, like, no earbuds, like, complete, like, noise cancellation. Like, I was like, that's how you listen to music right there.
Yeah.
You miss something with the earbuds, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. I love something about that raw sound. And again, I've been going back and listening to albums again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's just, you know, it's not just a sense of nostalgia. I think musically, you know, it's not taking samples of the stuff. And so some of, like we talked about this before, some of the subtleties.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that get missed in the digital format. You can hear all of those in the analog format.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think we connect that even with our life of faith. You know, just because something is new and modern, you know, doesn't mean that it's better.
Right.
You know, if we have a prayer practice that the church has been doing for centuries, you know, and it's still popular today, why not?
Yeah.
You know, and if there's something new, or, you know, a new form of music or a new type of prayer, you know, if it helps you bring you to a closer intimacy with the Lord, why not?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and that's what I love too, is we talk about family commitment. Like when my kids find music from our generation or even older on their own, and they go, "Hey, have you ever listened to?" And I'm like, "Yeah, how are you hearing them?" And they're like, "Well, it came up on my feed or my TikTok or whatever." However they find it, I don't necessarily care, but I like that they're finding it and then seeking out. You know, like my son getting into Zeppelin and Stones and stuff, like that's all on his own. I didn't have to show him any of that. Now, I might show him an appreciation a little deeper. I might take him to a B-cut rather than the essentials, you know. But I think that's another bonding opportunity within our kids, is even though our algorithms may be different, they still, you know, converge at some point, because what was old is new again. You know, people are hungry for an album or hungry for a mix of how was this originally meant to be heard. And then that says a lot about your heart and where you are as either a musician or just a music lover.
Yeah. And my son does that too. He'll say, hey, he goes, "Hey, Dad, I think you'll like this. Because, you know, I know you like this A, B, and C. So I think you'll like this." It's usually a group that I've not heard of or something that he's listening to. But it's kind of have the same vibe.
Yeah.
You know, he goes, "Yeah, I think you'll like this." And I'll listen to, "Hey, I do like that. That's pretty." So he, you know, so again, it's a way to bond also with the with my son as well.
Yeah.
You know, and he even told me the last father-son luncheon that we had that he wants to spend more time with me.
Oh, man.
So I was like, okay, this is 23 years old, you know, and he still wants to hang with Dad. Again, that it's about family commitment. You know, as busy as I am, that was something I started when they were teenagers, that I would find time for each of the kids. And so obviously as they got older, you know, they kind of like, okay, whatever, Dad, you know, that kind of thing. But Benjamin's my only boy. And so we've always had this kind of just like special thing, me and him, and he still wants to do it. You know, I thought, okay, he'll be like the girls, they get older enough and they want to do their own thing. But Benjamin's like, no, you know, I want to keep hanging, you know, I want to keep doing this. And so now we're playing guitars together, we're still going to lunch, and, you know, and he told me he wants to spend more time. I said, that's awesome. So I think you start that family commitment journey when they're younger, and you know, depending on the temperament of the kid, there's something that continues when they're older. Because what do you want? You want them to take what they're seeing and experiencing in your family into their own families one day. Because you're about to experience it. Your daughter's getting married, and you want her to bring some of those values and principles and things that they saw with you you know, and obviously in her own way, but to bring those general principles into her own family.
Yeah.
You know, so that it kind of carries on that spirit of love and communion and intimacy that God wants with each of us, that he's entrusted to parents, you know, for their kids, but to see that continue into their own families, to kind of find their own way and their own way of making that work for them. I think it's beautiful.
Well, and I gave my daughters like free rein of, I'm like, look, as you guys are moving into this phase of your life, don't feel like you have to come to my house for every holiday or Father's Day or whatever. Like, tell me what you want, because you're now at the age where you're excited to create your own traditions or extend what you grew up knowing that, oh, I loved these parts of my childhood or these holidays were really special to me. Because again, there are going to be new things because you're marrying someone who comes from also a whole nother onslaught of traditions and whatnot. So whether it is a holiday or birthday or summers or vacations, whatever, like, do those things. And then if you want us to be included, say, hey, can you guys come for this weekend or go to this, you know, whatever amusement park with us? I mean, I don't know that I will ever say no to you. I might say we can join you for part of it. You know, it just depends on what else is going on in our lives, because our kids are very busy. And so all of that to say, I enjoy watching, like living vicariously through their adventures, because their love of whatever it is or their excitement for the new things is coming from how they were raised, which is, you know, partially me, but also just their own enthusiasm and joy for life.
Yeah, and to watch how they pass on the faith to their children.
Amen.
As well is also beautiful.
Yep.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke, Silver's Lexington to Beacon of Truth, and today we're continuing our series called For Your Marriage, and today we're talking about family commitment. Would love to hear how in the midst of all the busyness and the ups and the downs and the twists and the turns of life, that you're making your commitment to your family. What does that look like? What kind of things you want to share with us today? Maybe you're having some struggles with family commitment. You want to talk about it. Would love to hear from you today. For Your Marriage, family commitment is our topic today. 833-288 EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Of course, as we celebrate this week, we want to say a big shout out to Raul and his team at St. John Paul II Catholic Radio, as they are celebrating three stations. They, of course, are going to be in Southern California as well as San Diego. So if you are in that area, not only listening, but streaming and supporting them, thank you for your support of Catholic Radio, for all of our radio partners. So again, congrats as they are celebrating 12 years on the air.
All right. Wonderful. Family commitment. That's our topic today in our continuing series called For Your Marriage. Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call. Family commitment. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Remember, you can also send us a text message. Just dial 1, then 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Give us your name, how you're listening, and your question or your comment. Remember that message and data rates may apply. And speaking of that, we just received a text. How do you deal with the anxiety of family member who is drinking too much? Confronting in the past doesn't work, and prayer seems like it's taking forever. You know, that's a great question. You know, and often, like I said, these are one of the quirky complications of family life. Is substance abuse. Alcohol is an issue in many families. Different types of addictions. Not knowing what that person, especially if you're a kid, not knowing what your parents may be dealing with. But it leads to definitely a source of stress and anxiety within the family. Now, if this is a sibling or something, it might be easier or not, depending on the temperament of the person that's involved. But yeah, so I think one of the things that you should do is always speak the truth in love. So St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4:15 to speak the truth, but always in love. And so when you talk to somebody about an issue with alcohol, you want to make sure that you do it in a way that's loving. So what does that mean? I remember I had to talk to a family member once, not about a substance abuse issue, but something else that was going on. And so I, you know, you pull that person to the side. And you say, you know, hey, I just want to let you know I love you, and I so appreciate you, you know. But I have to just tell you from my heart, because I love you, I'm a little bit concerned about, you know, this activity that you're engaging in, and that may at first they may deny it. Well, I don't have a problem. I can stop drinking whenever I want. I said, then stop then, please. You know, I hear some things that I'm noticing, you know, and we need people like that in our life. You know, I have people, priests, that I'm very good friends with, that I've told, like, if you ever hear me say something, or if you see me, you know, acting in a way that's not appropriate, I may not, you know, I may have something going on, or realizing I need you to call me out on it. You know, and so we need people like that in our life. Again, but you do it in a way that's loving. Again, I pulled this person in my family to the side, explained, and they were angry that I even brought it up. And I knew that they would probably react that way. And again, I assured them that I'm saying this because of love and concern, not to attack, not to judge or any of that. And so, you know, you may want to say, well, you know, here's another way you may want to consider dealing with whatever's going on instead of taking that drink, you know, giving them some ideas, adoration, exercise, different things like that they can deal with, or maybe talking with a priest, or, you know, if you want to share things with me, I'm happy to talk with you about what's going on, you know, different outlets. And, you know, and I think ultimately what you want to do is help them get to the cause of why they are engaging in the activity that they're engaging in. What is it that they're trying to cover with the alcohol, or cover with the drugs, or cover with the porn or the pleasure, whatever it is? Because that's what they're doing, is they're masking something that's either too painful or they don't want to deal with. And so they mask it with things that just inoculate them. They think it's inoculating them. It just, you know, I don't have to think about this because now I'm high or drunk or whatever it is, you know. So ultimately, you want to get to that root issue so they can really begin to deal with it. So, you know, God wants them to bring that to the surface so that he can begin the process of healing them with his incredible, unfathomable love and divine mercy. Confrontation, like as the person who sent the text message, confrontation in the past doesn't work. That's correct. Confrontation, like coming up with a person, just like coming off with the attitude, you're doing this and accusing, and that doesn't work. In fact, it makes things worse. It pushes them further away, and now they become even in some cases even more isolated, and more turned in on themselves, and even more reluctant to want to talk about the issue that's going on. And it says prayer seems like it's taking forever. Well, God works in his time, and God's timing is always perfect. It's not our time. And so, you know, God hears and answers those prayers that will always draw us closer to him. And, you know, God is faithful, but we don't know what God's plan is in all of this, but he's definitely working on it. You know, often God works behind the scenes to create a situation where when the solution does come, it's more of a long-term solution, not a short-term solution. But God needs to set things up, maybe in the lives of other people or certain circumstances, situations that will facilitate that healing process. So we often have to just be patient, take a deep breath, and wait on God and trust the process. And I would add fasting as another piece of this to the prayer, adding fasting to the prayer as a way of helping that family member.
You know, I don't think we realize, and this comes from some of my own searching, whether it be through pastoral counseling or reading books or whatnot that are smarter than I am, is realizing that there's part of our DNA that explains some of our behavior when it doesn't make sense, but then also the behavior that we watched model for us, because again, we don't know what we don't know, and then those before us didn't know what they didn't know, or it was just a series of, well, this is how our family's always been, so it's the way it will always be. And we don't realize the power that we have. Here it is, you know, we're celebrating Holy Spirit, you know, and having that in us to know that we can literally change not the DNA, but the patterns and the habits and reroute ourselves into soil that is grounded in Christ. And I think if we can get to that realization, being able to say, you know what, I can quit anytime, because you know it's the Holy Spirit that's helping you quit, that you and your flesh, your DNA may not allow you to quit, but it's with God's help that we're able to get past our habits, our hangups, the things that are holding us back.
Yeah. And they may need some additional help too, like AA or something like that. You know, 'cause it's not either or, it's both and.
Right.
You know, the physical, the spiritual, because holistic approach, mind, body, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're talking about family commitment. It's part of our continuing series called For Your Marriage. And family commitment is our topic today. So when we talk about family commitment, we're talking about deliberately creating ways and scheduling enough time, putting enough energy to the moral and educational development of our children. You know, our commitment to your spouse and commitment to the children. You know, again, so that everything's in that right balance. And if we have things right with God and then right with our spouse and then with our children, everything else, well, given again, life is bumpy and messy and confusing sometimes, but for the most part, God will help us work things out. So, you know, things like reading to your kids, taking them out on frequent outings. You know, like I said, I used to have take each kid out, you know, on my girls. Their first dates were with me. I even have a twins day out, which we did not too long ago. You know, so when my kids became adults, I took each of them on a trip with me. And then my wife came on all of them too, actually, because they wanted her to come too, which is fine. But so that we can spend time with them as adults, you know, like I used to do when they were kids. So, and then praying, I mean, all of that spiritual life, all of that working together. Because what we want to do in family commitment is take the reality of the Eucharistic presence of Christ that we experience in Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and to live that Eucharistic reality out in our family life every day. You know, so educating ourselves on appropriate ways to deal with children, especially with teenagers. You know, how do you talk with a teenager effectively about gaming or about spending time on too much time on their phones or social media and what I call death scrolling? I guess some people call it doom scrolling. I call it death scrolling because that kind of stuff kills the life of God in you. You know, how do we approach and talk to our kids when we see them falling into these traps? You know, how do we just talk with our spouse about how we're going to deal with this particular situation? So all of those things play into the family dynamic. You know, and one of the things that we really need to focus on too is family nights. Just an hour a week, 168 hours in a week, 1 hour a week doing something fun and engaging together as a family, you know, so the kids can see that, you know, dad is not all about work, a mom is not all about this, and that we can have fun together as a family, so they can also see a wonderful side of you as well. But love to hear from you today. Tell us about your commitment to your family as part of our ongoing series called For Your Marriage. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Again, if you're outside of North America, Canada, or one of the other wonderful countries around the world, dial 1, then 205-271-2985.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day because it actually happened. And now that my daughter Mia's only got another year of high school, I realized how fewer of these opportunities we're going to birth. But there are moments like when my wife and I are like watching a movie or if we're just hanging out, talking, whatever, that the kids will just come out in the living room. Like it's just a spontaneous moment. Either they just remembered something they wanted to share, or they just want to hang out with us. And in those moments, and again, I believe all of them are God orchestrated, because if any time we've ever asked them to come hang out with us, they always say no.
Yeah.
So it's like the Lord, like, nudging them, you know, onto the couch for something. And sometimes it's, you know, talking about, you know, things that are deep and, you know, whatever that's going on in their lives. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just funny thing happened at school, a funny thing happened at work, you know, silly thing over the weekend, and just sharing those adventures. Because I know, I told my wife, I said, where we're going to feel empty nesters is when there's no children to come down the hall to just plop on the couch spontaneously.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah. She goes, I'm not going to be okay this time next year. But I love in those moments, though, because again, like, I remember as a kid, if we were all together as a family, we were either out of the house doing something, or dad had called a meeting and that was something that was broken and needed to be fixed. So we never had those jovial, just hanging out. I mean, unless we were like little and you were having like, you know, tickle fights or whatever, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, when the kids get a certain age, I've always kind of been in the frame of mind, let them dictate the pattern, but you open up in such a way that they don't feel like they're invading on your show or your movie or your conversation or, you know, your quiet time, whatever. Like, you're allowing them to come into your space, and then they feel that that's a safe space to talk about anything.
Yeah, and we want to create those kinds of environments in our homes for our kids, for sure. Family commitment, that's our topic today on Beacon of Truth. Continue our series for your marriage. Would love to hear how you are committing to your family. What kinds of things are you doing to bring the family together? What does your commitment to your family look like? Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You know, with family commitment, one of the things that you want to do is make sure that your kids feel that they are important. That, you know, yes, I know daddy has to go to work and mommy maybe have to go to work, or there all these other things are going on. But they need to feel like, I am important. You know, that's why I did those date nights for the girls. And that's why we did the, you know, the twins day out. And that's why we did these, because to make them feel that they are important, you know, and that the faith is important. So often we kind of integrate the faith into some of the things that we're doing. So, for example, a very simple example. At the dinner table, like on Wednesday or Thursday, we'd read the gospel for the following Sunday, you know, and we just talk about, okay, what's Jesus talking about? What's going on? I wouldn't do any like exegesis or anything like that. It would just be like, hey, what's going on? Everybody got a chance to, if they wanted to say something, you know, about, yeah, I think this is what Jesus is doing. This is what, and nobody was wrong. You know, it was just a chance for them to share their reflection on the gospel reading. Why do we do that? Because we go to Mass on Sunday, they're not hearing the gospel now for the first time. And now they're listening more intently to the homily, because I wonder if Father's going to talk about what we talked about. You know, and so like, oh, okay. Or one of the things, we listen to the Bible like on, as an MP3, you know, the Truth and Life Bible. You know, we listen to that in the car, because how's all like the like, if there's walking through a village, you hear the footsteps, you hear the sheep and the sounds of the marketplace and things like that. And it was very engaging. And often when we're playing that, like if we're driving somewhere and we got to a place where we're going, the kids are like, no, let it keep going. You know, so that was always a lot of fun. So finding ways to connect the faith. When the kids are young, like praying a decade of the rosary every day, like one decade. So for the 5 decades, like the joyful mysteries, you know, Monday, Annunciation, you know, Tuesday, Visitation, Wednesday, Nativity, Thursday, Presentation, Friday, Finding Child Jesus in the Temple. You know, the kids are really young, so it's that you're just doing one decade, you know, every day, and you know, that gives them a chance to get used to praying the rosary, to memorize the prayers. They are Father, Hail Mary, Glory be to the Father, and an age appropriate level, you know, where they're thinking about, you know, what that mystery is involving. You know, so and doing it together as a family, so they can see this is something that the family does. I think that's awesome. Let's go to Gracie calling from San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Gracie, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Yes, hello. I was calling just to share our what we do as a family. Every day I go, I work in with education with kids. So after work, I go pick up my kids, and I always ask them, what's the favorite part of your day today? And we're always talking. We spend time talking together as we pick up the kids from school. We also have like a movie night, but we realized that we have to put movies of each, like, because not everybody likes the movies that we all choose.
Yeah.
So there's four of us, and we put movies according to our likings, and then we just rock, paper, scissors, and then whoever wins, they get to take out the movie, and we pick a movie that that they, not that they like, that's in a little, like a little bucket.
Oh, how fun is that? What a great way to end the show. All right. Tomorrow is Wednesday, my friends. You know what that means? Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. Break up in God's Word for Trinity Sunday. I love these Sundays after Easter. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EWTN.com/radio. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.